This is CliffCentral.com.
White Snake. I mean, this is... They're so 80s, they make Bon Jovi look 90s.
Yeah.
I mean, that's incredible.
And Bon Jovi did have a strong career and released some of their biggest albums in the 90s.
Yeah, so. These White Snake guys had better hair than any woman alive today.
Oh, yeah.
They had some... Yeah, they literally Jesus, did have the best hair in perm, wow. In perm history.
Yeah, White
They'll
Snake.
They'll permanently go down in history.
I see what you're doing.
They had a tragic thing where, like, fans of theirs... That one of the places, an event they were playing, a venue they were playing, burnt down and a bunch of people died. It was really horrible.
Oh, really?
Not taking the piss either. Yeah, they played some venue. It was overbooked. And then like a fire, some electrical shit happened and a fire happened. There was like a stampede to get out where some people were injured and killed. And then also some people were injured and killed in the actual fire. The band was fine, but it was quite a... Probably, I'm guessing 10 to 15 years ago, it was a hell of a thing. But they are a classic band.
They are a classic band. So that's White Snake. It is Wednesday morning, cliffcentral.com, the 23rd of January. The whole crew's here to look after you this morning, start your day properly, and we've got plenty of stories in the news that we want to get to as well. All right, where do we begin? Did you see this woman who went and spray tanned herself so that she could be black?
Didn't she
way to start a story.
What the Rachel Dolezal
is
going on?
Didn't she like melanin injection herself or was it actual spray tan?
No, she melanin injectioned and spray tanned herself. It's just the greatest story. I love this because, you know, these days you can decide that you identify as an attack helicopter and people have to use the right pronouns then for
they
you.
They then have to refer to you as chicka 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 fag.
Yeah, so it's got nothing to do with who you are or what you do or anything else or biological stuff. It's all got to do with what you choose to identify as. So now, of course, we've got a lot of crackpots. like this white couple who identify as black. The Daily Mail reports a white glamour model and her husband, they're both white people, who identify as black after having tanning injections, claim doctors say their future children will be born with dark skin. So not only...
Yeah, no.
They're going to come out whiter than Gordon.
Than Michael Jackson's kids.
Martina Big, who's 30, she's from Germany.
Sorry, Martina what?
Big, B-I-G, big.
Mm. She's big, isn't she?
And Michael Yerwin, who's 31, they got married in October, both have changed their skin color with tanning injections.
But her more than him, I've seen the pictures.
Yeah, I'll show you a
picture. He just looks like a kind of, he looks like Joshua Dore having gained some weight and got a tan.
Yes!
Like, he looks like chubby Joshua Dore with a light tan.
How would you describe her?
She looks like one of those Cadbury's chocolate people that surfed on the chocolate wave.
She looks
Wouldn't
like someone
it be
who's
nice
really
if life were chocolate. Da, 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 da.
They're both just like badly drawn humans.
They look like characters from Family Guy in one of their more risque jokes.
Worse, like Leon Schuster.
Yes.
Is going to
no, nothing
out
is worse than Leon
their...
Schuster.
He's like extras from a bad Leon Schuster bit.
Leon Schuster is the nadir of all life and proof that the human race needs a tidal wave because he's the best-selling movies.
So let's not get distracted here. Martina claims doctors have told them that their children will be born black. Obviously, these doctors are lying, and I don't think they're real doctors.
Or is it just a person who identifies as a doctor?
Dr. Alban.
Dr. Zeus and Dr. Alban said they're going to have black kids.
Newly married couple have hit the headlines previously due to their plastic surgery. She's gone to a 32S in terms of her breast size.
Yeah, what even is S? Like, what does S refer to? Like, buoyancy? Like, how many moons are orbiting?
I don't know, but they've been on TV before, these
what
two.
What happens when they get to Z with cups?
Mm-mm.
Then they have to go double Z and so on. But it's just amazing. So I'm not going to play you the whole thing, but it's worth... Just listen to this. This is Martina Big. She's talking about how she's had her tanning injections and now she's much happier being black. She's not black, by the way. Nothing. She's whiter than... She's German. She's a white German.
She looks like a white woman who's been painted with brown house paint.
Right.
...yourself back then as a beautiful girl. So if you did, if you were a beautiful girl, why do this?
Yeah, I liked my body from the beginning and to now every step. But like the boys, like their brand new car, they love to... work on it, and if they see, wow, nice results, let's find this piece and so tuning is a little bit Modern is because it's a work in progress.
A lot of work going on, a lot of body work going on, that's for sure. 24 procedures. Aside from the obvious, what have you had done?
Also, when we last met, I was much smaller. Also, actually, I have 7,100 cc each. But not only my skin color changed, also in meanwhile, also I've realized that my eye color has changed, eyebrow color has changed, and also my regrowing hairs are more black, also more darker, and going curly.
So we should explain this a little bit further, really, because this has changed, Martina, has come around because of these tanning injections, and it was one of your surgeons that recommended that you should use these tanning injections because you weren't getting the deep tan that you wanted just by going out into the sun.
So she reckons, like, actual genetic processes are now starting to, like, want to join the party. Like, ooh, my genes are like, me too, that's fun.
Yeah. She's actually convinced that her body is now starting to...
Reacting.
Yes, it's becoming... She's actually authentically becoming blacker.
Yeah.
It's just amazing.
Like she got bit by a radioactive spider with rhythm that can... you're turning into... Actually, she believes she's transforming as opposed to just painting the outside.
It's just a great story. Yeah. I just love it because this is such mental illness. That's what this is. And nobody wants to call it by its real name.
Mental also, people who have money.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. People who have too much money. Mm. Like, get a coke habit. That's at least less annoying to everyone else.
This
than
does kind of show you that the first world in 2019 doesn't have real problems.
Yep.
Yeah, the biggest problems, say the first
the world biggest
show.
Problems we have is that, you know, maybe Ja Rule's going to con you out of some money with a fire festival.
And if you get conned by Ja Rule, you deserve to be conned.
You know, and it's so interesting. It quite speaks to this new information that has been revealed about the widening gap between rich and poor and, you know, first world and third world
please
country.
Don't tell me this is the Oxfam report, because that is such a steaming pile of bullshit.
Is it?
Oh, yeah. I'll tell you why. Because Oxfam are obsessed with rich people and how much they have, instead of being obsessed with how to improve the lot of poor people. It's just one of those, you know, like the Forbes list, they come out with this list of all the rich people in the world. And it's a contest to the top, instead of trying to actually do something about things at the bottom. And what they do is they claim in that report, and I'm sure you're going to give us some of the details now, but they claim in that report that global inequality is increasing, that there are huge problems, that the poor are getting poorer and the rich are getting richer. It's all nonsense. Even the poorest people in the world alive today are better off than any in the previous generation. Any. So you've got to put this into perspective. Oxfam are trying to drum up support. Remember, Oxfam are a charity. Trying to drum up support so they can get donations. And all it is this is resentment. It's a resentment report. They should call it the Oxfam Resentment Report.
Or call it Bolloxfam.
That took me a moment. That took me a moment.
Bollocks fam.
Bollocks fam.
Because I do believe that people are getting money. Great, good on you. But it just shows that mental illness plus tons of money.
Yeah, well, in this case, sure.
Equals absolute disaster.
Let's give them a moment in the sun. What do Oxfam say?
Oxfam says that there are more billionaires now in the world than there was back in the 2008 financial crisis.
Great.
So there are 2,208 billionaires in the world. Mind you, as we look around this room, we are not billionaires nor married to one.
No.
Let's just let that
Yeah, but
soak
here's the here's the thing that I that's the opening line of the report.
Mm-hmm.
That there are too many, according to Oxfam.
Their fortunes grow by $2.5 billion US dollars
now,
a day.
This is why I say it's the resentment report. This is about Oxfam saying it's just totally wrong that there are people who are making money. How dare they make money? They must give us that money. That's what Oxfam is saying.
I do believe...
Why would we not celebrate the fact that there are more billionaires?
I agree with that, but I also agree that there is a problem with the wealth gap. But for me, it's the opportunity...
How would you like to solve that?
For me, it's the opportunity, access to infrastructure, and decent base education gap. That's the problem. Not so much that some people have money and other people don't.
Let's just be clear. There are two views of how wealth is created. The first is that people come up with good ideas, or they work really hard, or they find a gap in the market, or they do something that other people are prepared to pay them for. mm-hmm. you know, good old capitalism. So if you
earning things, basically,
and if the playing field is level in terms of everybody has an opportunity, like in a country like America, where an immigrant can come in and become a billionaire, and some of them have, then I don't know how anyone can have a problem with that. The other way to view billionaires is to say that they've stolen all their money from the poor, as if the poor were making this money for
them.
But
in some cases,
they
somehow
have. They swooped in and just stole all the money from the
corrupt
deserving
politicians.
Poor.
Will do stuff like that. I mean, there are cases of.
Please
that.
Believe me, the Oxfam report does not include politicians.
Sure. All I'm saying is that I'm not concerned about the wealth gap in the sense that it's outrageous that some people are much wealthier than other people.
Yeah.
But I do think that there's an opportunity gap worldwide that hopefully. But like you say, even the poorest of the poor have a better standard of living than they had a generation ago. And for everybody, including people who don't have a good enough situation. Including those people, the world is improving and has been improving. I mean, it's going to shit environmentally.
The fact that there are more billionaires means there are also more millionaires. Mm. Means there are more people who are making thousands. It means there are more people making hundreds. It stands to reason that the fact that there are more wealthy people means that there are other people further down who've also improved their life. How could Oxfam have a problem with this?
Exactly. Poverty is being alleviated.
Do you think that's what it was? Like them being that emotional.
You listen to what they say. Read it as they say it and you'll see what I mean.
Soon there'll be Turn Me Black clinics all over the place to cater for these billionaires.
I'm not going to get involved on that. Y'all people.
Or just race changing clinics. I mean, you don't have to be black. You can do what Michael Jackson did and switch the other way. The more mega wealthy people there are, the more race-sopolistologist surgeons can come and change people.
Get on with the Oxfam survey. Let's listen to this.
So then they compare on the other side, saying that 3.4 billion people live on less than $5.5 a day, and 3.4 billion people is about half of the world population. Going back to the richer side of the scale, there are tax evasion crises all over the world, and they say the ultra rich deprives developing countries of $170 billion a year simply based on tax evasion.
It's not called tax evasion, it's called hanging on to the money that politicians don't get to steal from you. It's called tax avoidance, and it's totally legal. And Oxfam, if you really believe that the world's governments are better at administering money than the people who made that money legitimately themselves, then you go ahead. You set up a big government and let's see how many people come to your country.
Yeah. And then they also compare between last year and this year. So last year there were 42 people. This is the number of people who owned the same as the poorest half of humanity. Yeah. As opposed to now, 26 people this year. That's the number of people who own the same as the poorest half of humanity.
Is that because those people have lost money or the poorest half of humanity have gained money? Like,
I think you just caused Oxfam's heads to explode.
Yeah, well, it's like now there's half as many, now there's fewer people. Is that better? Shit, I'm confused.
I'm not being insensitive.
That's worse, though. The less people owning half
more.
Okay, I thought that was a sign of equality, but basically it's not.
No, it's not.
I'm not being insensitive. I'm not taking away from struggles that are happening in the world. But if really, you know, like our great billionaires of our time today who have really worked hard and they have the money that they have, and you sit and you go, shucks, I have enough money to really like
your Bill Gates,
flip the script,
Elon
Musk's,
Kendall Jenner's, really? Those great entrepreneurs.
Kylie Jenner is the villain, not Kendall. But you really think about the fact that Jeff Bezos pre-divorce, if it happens the way everyone is speculating it will happen, his fortune, like what, 1% of his fortune is what the entire of Ethiopia spend on their health budget overall.
Well, then Ethiopia got to pull up their socks. Why do we always look at who's doing well and feel that we need to penalize them? You know what that's called? It's resentment and jealousy. You don't have... I don't know where Oxfam get this idea that they're entitled to other people's labor. We've given up on slavery. It was a bad idea. Humanity is repulsed by the idea of slavery. So stop thinking that just because you call it tax and you get to have your share of a corporation hand over half of its money to you, that somehow that isn't a kind of slavery. Stop it.
I would divorce Jeff Bezos even if I still loved him for half his money. I'd be like, listen, Jeff, I'm divorcing you for half your fucking money, but we can still bone and go out and stuff.
Well, let's look
well,
at...
Well, no,
let's
Lauren
look
and
at,
Jeff are going to the Oscars so, together, they say.
So Oxfam used to say that this was the percentage of people in the world who lived under a dollar a day. Notice that now they've changed that so that it's $5 a
yes.
day. So they keep on upping the ante themselves and then complaining.
Inflation.
And then complaining about how unfair the world is. But it's getting better for everybody is the point. So Oxfam are running out of material to frighten us with. They're running out of material for their equality narrative.
Bloody Oxfam.
Yeah, please don't take these people
constantly
seriously.
Constantly on my bloody mind, driving me nuts with their bullshit.
I saw it on the TV news the other day and I just switched channels.
While you were watching for your
You know what it is. It's propaganda.
Is that a, like, just because it's such a bloody ridiculous name, is that an acronym or is it short for the Oxford family? What is like?
I don't know. I don't know what it stands for, but it's a charity.
According to the Googler, they're just a federation of 20 independent charitable organizations that focus on the alleviation of global poverty.
But if there is no more poverty, there's no more Oxfam, so therefore they don't want to then, you know...
Okay,
but
there what is the conspiracy is going on now.
No, but I mean, that's the whole thing. Like, if the world was a happy place, what would Oxfam do? So these guys are clinging on to whatever they can to stay relevant.
But they might also do some nice things for people. I'm not sure.
So did Hitler. He did nice things for some people.
Okay, so Oxfam's not Hitler, though. No, just because they don't like billionaires.
I mean, the Catholic Church has been nice, doing nice things for people for thousands of years. They've also been abusing children. So don't let's confuse what's going on here. Oxfam are terrific at, I don't know, running a soup kitchen. They're not so good at economics. Let's keep them in their lane.
But like Hitler and the Vatican.
Thank you.
Yeah, I think that's fair to bring up.
Level.
I think it's fair to bring those up.
Okay.
Because I'm tired of people saying, well, if you do one or two good things in your life, that you're absolved of all the bad things.
Well, I'm the reason feminism is needed in the world because I don't like certain types of selfies. So
if you want to hear what an awful person Gord is, just listen to the first hour.
Yeah, find out about how outrageously I don't like
just
selfies.
Listen to my sport, how he butchered that with all his prejudice.
Exactly. Yes.
That was
yes.
quite something.
Stereotype Kopinski throwing stones from his glass mansion over there.
And now look at him throwing it on me.
Guys, can we talk about the demise of a real great South African institution? I drove past a place the other day that made my heart flutter.
Oh.
Do you remember Everstar?
Okay. Hell yes. But absolutely, China.
It's just down the road from us.
That was the best 2 weeks of my life, but...
So there was a club.
Yes, you need to... When was this heyday? Right. Because you guys started speaking about it and I wasn't in the loop.
2012.
I drove past the building the other day. In 2012, there was a guy called Mike Basson.
Okay.
Who had a ponytail.
So he was a butter.
He was a butt. And he started this club called Everstar. It was around the time that the movie Avatar had come out.
Yes.
Oh.
And it was meant to be the greatest club in the world. It lasted, as Gord says, about 2 weeks. And he never paid anybody, so they shut it down.
Except you.
He paid me, yeah. I DJed there for one night. And
gosh, it was like the Fire Festival before the Fire Festival.
Yes, I was still trying to work out how talk DJs become like... so popular for playing music, but that's a whole nother conversation. Avastar didn't pay anybody.
So here it is. He paid me, and he obviously knew where his bread was buttered, all right? So listen to this. Remember this ad.
Because your milkshake brings the boys.
That's rough. So listen to this quickly.
If you go down the strip of Vegas, all of the hotels there is theme-based hotels. And we created Avastar Theme Nightclub based around the movie Avatar. But now, instead of doing it 3D, we created a virtual reality of effect of taking nature and creating it with modern technology in what we created here. It will be mind-blowing when you come to Everstar and see what we created.
Ever?
A creation of effect. A creation
Did he
of
make
effect.
Any sense there whatsoever? Virtual reality, so what, like real life?
Well, I'm As sure in- when they recorded this, he... said, are we going to do one take, so I don't want to miss it around the whole day.
Or he just thought it was brilliant, like, I nailed that, but it was one take of a take, Absolutely. You got to love it when Boots want to emphasize and they're like, it will be absolutely mind-blowing. It's like, that made it much better. Don't articulate. hesitate. First rule of but emphasis. If right, you go down the strip of Vegas, you'll notice. What do you notice? Gareth, when you go down the strip of Vegas, tune me what you notice. I'll tell you, but every single place is a themed place. And now you can't argue with that because I tuned it lank slowly. But and then he's like, he gets his stars and his tars confused. He's like, you've seen the movie that we basically plagiarizing Avatar. And he's like, when he gets slapped with a fucking, I mean, if it lasted long enough to get slapped with an IP lawsuit. And he's like, we're not plagiarizing the very famous, most successful movie of all time, James Cameron owned, highly litigious brand Avatar. It's a coincidence that we're called Avastar and we have one of your creepy blue fucking people things on the wall. But in his ad, he's like, yeah, I've checked for the movie Avatar, but our place is Avastar.
Yes.
Similar decoration theme to the movie Avatar. Come to Avastar.
We've got flamethrowers. Every 10 minutes, we give you a flamethrower display. Ooh. We've got over 8 laser lights. Where we
over
can
8, so what, 9?
Yes, yeah, so 9.
That's like when places are like, we're in the top 37 global financial institutions. Just be like, dude, you're 37th. Like, no, we're in the top 14. Like, fuck, bro, you're 14th, basically. You're not third and saying we're in the top 20. Flamethrowers
and laser light display show over each dance floor. We've got moving headlights, LED shows, confetti machines, low fog machines, our chandeliers.
So shit that every rave club ever also has. Like Truth has that, ESP has that, H2000 has got thousands of those. Like we've got sound systems and lights and a floor and an aircon and there's water and air and there's aircon. People and we'll have lights over 8.
This guy's a legend.
Dudes, I forgot to tell you, I was voted best oak in the world 2018, and I'm pretty sure I'm going to win 2019 as well. So that's my new thing. Gord Laws voted best oak in the
best
world.
Best oak ever.
I went on the Truth Coffee. Inspired by them being voted best coffee shop in the world every year in the coffee election.
Every time until Truth Coffee comes back with you.
It's like we've discussed this, how I never get asked to vote. Like, they have, like, voted best sandwich on earth. Like, by fucking who? So I got my two mates, Kulani and Lebu, together, and Clayton, three of them, and we had a referendum. The candidates were me and Donald Trump.
Wow.
And I won best oak in the world, as voted for by neutral voters, and I'm officially the best oak in the world.
Similar. That's marvelous, Gordon. Yeah.
Congratulations.
Thanks, guys.
But the point is, I wanted to remind everybody of how great some of the institutions that we've had to say goodbye to over the years have been, like Avastar, because they obviously went out of business after a few weeks of being
barely got to say hello to them.
Yeah,
and I was trying to do a where are they now thing. Mike has disappeared off the radar.
Well,
the last thing that was in the news around him is what people who need money from him were saying, and people who worked for him also said.
One of my friends went to the auction that they had at Avastar that closed down because he wanted to buy. He's got a party room at the bottom of his house in the basement.
Did he need like 8 laser lights?
He needed 8 laser lights. He needed volcanoes. So listen how excited he was.
He could pick up a confetti machine for dirt cheap.
This is my friend Rob. He went to the Avastar auction all those years ago. Listen to this.
Oh my word, Avastar, what a fantastic place. Do you know the movie Avatar? The greatest movie ever made involving blue people in 3D. Well, Avastar was the club equivalent of the groundbreaking James Cameron's Avatar. You walked into that place and you realized that you were in the presence of the greatest amount of opulence, wealth, awesomeness, and bad taste that could ever be combined in one place, and it was glorious. The VIP lounges were like massive glass fish tanks that you could sit in and feel so important, as incredibly tailored and ridiculously colored fake leather and slightly leather and plastic furniture of the highest quality caress your blue tail as you sit upon an amazing cocktail. So many cocktails you could get there.
Anyway, he goes on about all the stuff. He bought like a smoke machine from the auction, and like they were selling all the stuff at bargain basement prices because they needed to make up the money.
They auction it with like an oak that can now, hammer now, got 20 over here.
But it was so much fun because I reminded everyone of this, all because I'd just driven past the building and thought, I missed this. I mean, it was the heart of Rivonia.
But it was basically after that Rivonia went kind of downhill.
Yeah.
Because that was the gold rush, essentially. Yeah. Also, I'm pretty sure Avastar was the start of load shedding as well.
Yeah.
They had
Carnival City, which can be seen from space.
They had a trillion bulbs for some reason. I mean, that was the brightest place ever. Like, you couldn't, you go to Avastar, you couldn't sleep for 2 days because you're so wired on pure like light. On
you
light.
Can navigate to Carnival City or Avastar with just head to the beams going up.
Follow
in the
sky. Light.
Yeah,
I remember.
Alien spacecraft.
I'm like,
flew out of their normal orbit and hit that light.
Literally, an alien spacecraft landed from people from a planet where there is no good taste, and they opened the doors and it was Carnival City. I'm like, you're gonna fucking load shed me during Premier League football, and Carnival City can stay open. Like, no, just unload shed them, and we'll be giving free electricity to Mozambique to help them.
So, but back in July, when Avastar opened, everyone watched that video, which goes on for a long time if you haven't seen it before. Gareth played like the first quarter.
Yeah.
So everyone was like, oh, should we go? Should we go? People were like, so indecisive. So I started this Facebook group called Fuck It, We're Going to Avastar. And I'm looking at this now.
Yeah, Ben, you're talking circa 2012, yeah.
2012. Like, Ben was a social media influencer.
Was this before or after you were DJ Ben K?
After, just shortly.
Ben
after.
Was a social media influencer before. Mm. We even knew what that was.
Yes,
it's the end of your time.
So
Ben.
It says here, I invited 150 people, of which 113 went. And everyone.
Which comprised half the audience that ever attended Avastar.
No, it's legit. So if you go onto Facebook, you maybe try to find the group. And like, I organized like a deal at the door that ladies got in for free before 10 and then $50. Look, guys was you. $50 before 10 and then $150 thereafter. But we all got there proper early, and it was one of the funniest nights because I knew everyone in the club, basically. All 200 of us, we all friends.
Was it at least bad good? You know when shit is so bad that it's good?
Everything that everyone expected. But like all these, there were these strange areas. So like the VIP lounge would literally just be like a step and two couches. The VVIP couch would be like a step and four couches. And everyone then had like a cocktail, because apparently you had to buy Avastar cocktails if you wanted to go talk to the chicks.
Yeah, that I remember that being part of the video. I wanted to bring that up.
No,
where he's like,
listen, don't worry. You have to rush. Let me move it along.
Okay. This is the planet of Avastar where women rule. Men are more than welcome, but guys, there's a trick to it. What's the trick? If you approach any of my ladies in Avastar, you approach her with an Avastar cocktail.
There it is.
Okay, be a gentleman. Ladies, you're not obligated to give a guy any attention, but be nice.
Isn't that nice of him? My ladies.
Buy my ladies' drinks if you want to talk to them. Because don't be sexist.
But as soon as you go through the door, you give up ownership of yourself and you become an Avastar lady.
You become. Is his Mike name Besson. Spelled M-A-A-K or is it M-I-K-E?
Mark.
Mark Besson. But just now he's hearing this outraged and is still involved in the bouncing industry and comes and kills me. But I don't know. I would welcome it.
Sorry. I'd love to talk to him.
Because I think it would be fascinating.
I mean, and they had dancers. Eh? They had dancing shows. They had all kinds of different sort of things.
There's a dress painted blue with the like bad Avastar. Like he looks like an oak that's gone to the sevens.
They even had a guy painted that he would dance.
That's just a picture from Gay Pride or the Sevens. That's not real.
No, that's their dance floor. The dance floor that would light up when you walk on it, along with the eight lasers.
For the listening audience, Ben is showing us a picture of five dancers who are shirtless, semi-buff men.
I'm showing you more than four dancers.
Well, in this picture, there's five with no shirts on and wearing like camo pants, and one oak badly dressed as an Avastar oak, and they look like they're raving their tits off.
Wow.
That's amazing. You know, we really have had the best of everything in this country. We should be very grateful.
When you're building your strip of Vegas themed party nightclub hotel and you do it in a face brick venue, you know you're off to a bad fucking start.
Yeah.
Like, we're going to build a Vegas competitor in a rectangular face brick building in Rivonia. which also houses like a Chinese imports wholesaler and like a small Indian restaurant and then like a law office
and a few laundering operations.
Yeah, an actual laundry, memos, and a attorney office on the top floor.
Listen, I'm always blown away by how much you know, nostalgia there is just around the next corner. So you've got to look around and remember those great places.
And around the previous corner, ironically.
Shut up, Gord.
Sorry.
Who are you sometimes?
It's my first show back. Oh, I'm rusty. Jesus.
All right, so there's quite a lot of other stuff we want to get to that's actually in the news at the moment. I don't know if you've heard about Wobot. Have you heard about Wobot, W-O-E-Bot?
No.
So Wobot is an on-demand therapist powered by artificial intelligence that allows users to get help with mental health problems like anxiety and depression at the touch of their fingertips. So, I mean, they've got to think about the name and the branding here because I'm a little bit worried about...
Come to bleakness.com to feel better about your shit life. A robot that has no intuition nor emotions whatsoever will tune you to be cheerful and get better from your sadness at yourlifeiscuck.co.za.
I mean, they've got to do a branding course here.
Why not Joybot?
Yeah, no? I mean, Wobot. I mean, it's so depressing. It's going to make it worse, right? So here's Wobot. Listen to this.
Meet Wobot, the friendly little bot who's ready to listen 24/7. Wobot's been trained in cognitive behavior therapy, an approach to mental health that is all about identifying distortions in your thinking. Wobot doesn't do therapy, but he can be your guide to help you figure out things on your own. Oh, and he's effective. Some nice people at Stanford University demonstrated that chatting to Wobot for 2 weeks led to significant improvement in mood.
First of all, I'm really tired of these videos that treat everyone like idiots. Some nice people at Stanford University. I mean, say researchers. We don't need them to be some nice people to take it seriously.
Or venture capitalists.
But I don't mind knowing what they are.
Yeah.
Calling them some nice people at Stanford is so patronizing.
And you've worked hard to get a title of professor or doctor.
Correct.
And then you're called a nice...
You designed the goddamned Wobot. The least you can get is your professor title in there, you know? Some nice people at Stanford University. Yeah. It's so...
People paid to develop technology who are passionate about it and have studied it for many years have been tasked with the task of creating this AI.
Right.
For a broader picture of trying to see whether technology can empathize. They're also nice.
Significant improvement in mood. Every day he asks how your day is going, how you're feeling, and what you're up to. He builds an emotional model of you over time and can help you see patterns in your mood. As he learns about you, he'll teach you things.
You know, this makes me woeful, because if you can't, if you're the sort of person who nobody asks, how's your day going? What are you up to?
Well, exactly. Anything's an improvement if you're that bleak. It's like,
It's sad, you know. I mean, I don't realize sometimes, and maybe we all have this problem, how lucky I am that someone gives a damn about how my day is.
Having friends and stuff, man, and also just... not being a moron. Sometimes you take that shit for granted. Like,
wow.
You could be a flat earther with no friends, and you would probably believe you're better than everyone else.
Like useful strategies and practical tools that have been shown to work. You're not troubling him at all. Honestly, he has nothing else to do.
He's got nothing else to do. Hello, Gareth. How's your shit life today? Are you feeling better from being bleak?
Yes, thanks, Wobot. I'm feeling a bit better. Yesterday was horrible, though, because at my work, I had so much to do.
It could be worse, Gareth. You could be on fire. But I am on fire. It could be worse, Gareth. You could be on fire in a plane that's crashing.
Thanks, Wobot. I feel much better now.
You are also quite nice.
Thanks.
I am programmed to say.
Listen, I think if you're going to see Wobot, there are much bigger problems afoot.
It was kind of funny having one around the office, though, because you could just like lie about stuff and see what it says.
Yeah,
you just lie and say, "Look, a guy can say I've miscarried again," and Wobot's going to be like, "Huh?"
That would be a system overload and die.
And the thing is, like, he can't say ha ha ha. You'd be like, screw you,
I have no. I am sorry. Sorry, my accent went Afrikaans there for some reason. I don't
it's
know why.
Still stuck
but
in
my like,
song. It's fine.
I am sorry. I have nothing to offer you at this juncture. That is a bona fide fuck up. You are pretty screwed.
You know, there was that character on Saturday Night Live. Her name was Debbie Downer. Did you ever watch her? Everyone would be having a good time. They'd all be in Disney World.
Yes.
And, you know, that Mickey Mouse is running around going, hey, guys! And everybody's dancing and there's music and they're eating popcorn and they're just having a good time. And then Debbie Downer will walk in and go, I found out today I can't ever have a child. And they'd go, oh, no, Debbie Downer. Oh, man.
I found out, interesting fun fact, in Spain and Spanish-speaking countries, Mickey Mouse is Raton Miguel.
Wait, are you being for real?
100%.
Because that is fabulous.
Who? Raton Miguel. Mouse Michael.
Raton.
Raton Miguel. Raton Miguel.
You see, and then you deny your
Stinky
acting
pinky.
Roots in Barcelona.
Yeah. All right, so let's just let's finish up with Wobot quickly, because I don't know, maybe there's someone who needs Wobot in their lives this morning.
Wobot, annoy his way into your heart. Wow. And start feeling better today.
Did you just annoy his way into your heart?
Yeah, you can visit Wobot, WOEBOT.io.
But what was the chirp about let Wobot annoy his way into their heart? Because now this thing sounds like it might be a parody. It might be a piss take.
He'll be asking you
listen,
questions all the time.
Not troubling him at all. Honestly, he has nothing else to do. So let Wobot annoy his way into your heart and start feeling better today.
Bullshit then. No, it's real. Wobot.io. You can go and look it up.
Yeah, I find it great if it helps you. Awesome. Go for gold. But if you really do have to reach the point in your life where you have no one else to talk to or feel like no one else cares and you have to talk to an app, that's a bit sad.
I guess it's kind of like, you know, to kind of withdraw the level of piss take one click. It's a bit like TV talk shows and stuff. There are people who like are just like lonely or old and their family don't care or just purely by themselves, and like if they didn't have like soap operas to watch, they'd probably off themselves. Like, it is probably better than nothing, and some people are in a really shitty situation where literally no one cares about them. So I guess talking to like a AI that responds with advice that's programmed by smart people to be vaguely useful is better than having no one. But yes, it's still,
I guess I didn't
it's
think
still,
of it that
it's
way.
Still, yeah. It's still bleak as fuck if you need Wobot.
Yeah.
It's literally like the one thing AI theoretically can never do unless it becomes sentient and aware is empathize and understand human emotion and creativity. So literally they're trying to get AI to do the one thing it's crap at. Rather let it fly drones and bomb people because it's good at that shit.
Yeah, it's not even like some people at SADAG who are sitting behind a computer screen. At least it's like a live chat. You're talking to something that's not there.
Yeah, exactly. And it's not there doing the thing it's supposedly not capable of doing. Have you seen that shit where they got a Google AI? I stand to be corrected on whether it was Google, but one of the big giant monolith Illuminati countries that own the internet. They made a AI that was intended to like analyze all of the world's best and most famous artworks from across a number of art movements for centuries and kind of create algorithms to understand what these great artworks had in common.
Right.
Using all sorts of clever shit that I don't understand, and then to produce its own art. Mm-hmm. And like, on the one hand, they could take one genre. So you could take like, and I'm...
Impressionism.
You could take like oil painting portrait styles from French portrait painting during the Napoleonic era, where there was a style and all of them looked the same. Mm-hmm. Everyone got painted looking like themselves in their best cloak, and and it would create new portraits of not real people from composites that were like impossible to tell apart from a real masterpiece artist. It's just it made a new person painted it. But when you added all of the art movements together and said to it like, make amazing art, it was the trippiest shit. It was like if you were halfway through your DMT experience and heard gunshots next door. Wow. That's how bad it was. The like eyes on cheeks and like fuck, it was like hell on earth. So like it can't understand art. It can only understand like,
or maybe it does. Maybe because
well,
maybe
it
that's
can understand a template, but it can't understand like creativity-ing a new.
Well, I don't know. They say that they there are varying reports that that allege that there will be a point where even creativity is disintermediated, because computers, of course, can be creative within a framework. So if you say to them, take all the art in human history and base that on some massive calculation of algorithms, and you'll eventually find out what it is that is pleasing to the eye. And it will design something that's better than anything you've ever seen
before. That's what it was trying to do, and it basically came up with something that was horrifying to the mind.
Horrifying.
All right, well, a pastiche of everything terrifying.
I want us to just quickly turn our attention to social media, because there are at least two people I know who are really good at it and are doing it better than anyone else. And one of them is Ryan Reynolds, who is constantly making fun of his wife on social media. He rips into her at every opportunity he's got. And Lad Bible came out with a story that making fun of your partner can make your relationship stronger, according to a study. So Ryan Reynolds saw the story, copied it into a tweet and said, at Blake Lively, listen here, idiot.
I love that.
And posted it on social media. The other one who's doing really well is Ben Karpinski, who keeps bringing up... he trolls celebrities. This is why Jeannie D blocked him.
I don't troll celebrities.
Yes, you do.
I really don't.
The blocking speaks for itself.
I've had a few minor run-ins with a few minor celebrities, but I never troll them.
Well, tell them about Colin Moss.
Yeah, you pretty much troll Colin Moss.
Look, if you have not seen the movie Number 10, do yourself a favor. After watching the Fyre Festival documentary, try find the movie Number 10.
If you can't find it as Number 10 on the torrents, look for it as Number 2, because some people have... labeled it that as well.
Number 10 is a fantastic rugby movie, okay? It's better than Invictus. Take that, Clint Eastwood. It's better than Invictus.
I said that in FHM. Number 10 is a real number 2. That was the end of the review.
So, I always find it so funny because Colin Moss was the fly half, right?
Yeah.
And he was like the main...
Colin was like the main guy. He was like... He was the star of the movie. But rugby is not his thing, obviously.
Yeah.
So they have these really badly dubbed like rugby scenes that go in and out, and there's Colin running and kicking. Like
being tough.
Literally just started doing it. But the rest of them, it all comes together. I mean, Mendoza was in it.
Really?
Like, Marius Roberts was in it. Like, it was...
Of course, Marius Roberts was in it.
I love the movie so much. So I always try to bring it up in social media, because when I do, there's like five or six people who are in on the joke, okay?
Getting Colin Moss to play like a proper fly half of like serious rugby is like getting me to play Ezekiel Sepeng in the fucking biopic of his life.
Pretty much. So this friend of mine wrote the most incredible article this week about Pat Lambie and about his retirement, and obviously how he thinks he was the ultimate fly off, but you know, his career was disappointing, whatever. So I retweeted the article and I said, sure, this is a good article, but to write about a fly half piece and not mention Colin Moss in the movie Number 10 is a little disappointing. So obviously I'm joking, right? Obviously people know that my sense of humor around this. Colin Moss then responds, you seriously need more like new material, bro.
Ooh. I noticed. First of all, Gareth ran into him in one of your Instagram videos posted, running into him in New York.
Yes.
And he was way overplaying. I mean, I don't know if he overacts or if that's just how he overlives.
No, he's actually doing okay. But I mean, it's hard as hell in New York.
I just Emirates to and from.
He's in the Emirates ad.
Yeah, yes. I just Emirates to and from Spain via Dubai both ways. So four Emirates flights. And he's now the guy on the in-flight entertainment that shows you how much you're enjoying Emirates. And like he's sitting, excuse me, I'm wheezing because of an actual cough, not just from being muttly. But he's sitting on the plane in business class, and he's like having a he's doing happiest time of my life conversation with his wife, and then like a stewardess lady, what they're called now, gender nondescript in-flight
cabin
service human, comes with a fucking tray of food with a, what do you call that round thing,
the silver
platter job, and hands him the food, and he does like wow face, like. Smile, you know, I don't know what you call it, but like OMG, ha, smile at the food. And I'm just like, dude,
I wish I could record this.
You can't overact getting a fucking lunch.
You're sounding so harsh here.
New York City rent is expensive. Who's going to pay it
if
you don't wild face
your job as a professional actor is to do a convincing, that's pleasingly surprising food.
He got the job.
He's playing a role, Gord.
I mean, probably the other people
of overactor on plane.
Yeah, well, maybe that's the brief.
Ben is now trying to defend Colin at
any moment. Of course I'm defending.
Can I bring
Colin up
my moment of glory on social media this week? So there's a news story about how Lady Gaga has come out against Mike Pence because his wife is working at a Christian school, and at a Christian school, it's in the name, it's a Christian school. They don't want gay teachers, and they don't want teachers who have extramarital affairs or any of that stuff. It's a Christian school. You know that that's part of the bargain if you send your kids to a Christian school, right? Even if we don't agree with that.
Okay.
And you know I wouldn't agree with people who say that you shouldn't have a gay teacher. Because why not? I think it's necessary that kids are exposed to people who have all kinds of backgrounds and places in society and likes and dislikes and can love anybody that they want. And there's no problem with that. But anyway, it's a Christian school, so they make the rules. You want to send your kids to a Christian school, that's what you're getting. So Mike Pence, who's the Vice President of the United States, his wife is going to work at one of these schools. And Lady Gaga has come out in the media and said that Mike Pence is the worst Christian in the world. And she said this during a concert.
The worst in the world.
Yeah, she said this during a concert when she was talking about Mike Pence's wife's job at what she calls an anti-LGBTQ school. It's not an anti-LGBTQ.
It's a pro-Christianity school.
Correct. So I just said, wow, you know, thank God for Lady Gaga. She's so brave.
Also, has she rated Mike Pence against the ones that fiddle thousands of children over generations?
No.
Oku starts priesting when he's 22, and then at 85, they find out that he's been fiddling every generation of kids entrusted to him, and it goes into the thousands. And the Vatican then shut it, close it all down, decide because he repented not to prosecute, and move him to another parish as punishment.
Yes. But
to get a fresh new batch of kids he hasn't fiddled yet.
To feel better about this, machine gun them, please. Just think truth coffee rating here.
Like, yeah, voted worst Christian in the world
by
2018
by Lady Gaga
in the bad Christian referendum that Lady Gaga held independently.
Lady Gaga very vainly and thinly disguising her contempt for the Republican Party and for Mike Pence and for Donald Trump, effectively. That's what she's really going after here. And Lady Gaga, let's remember what she does for a living. So I said she's so brave, Lady Gaga. So brave. We needed her back in 1941. She would have been the most powerful weapon against fascism back in those days. God bless Lady Gaga, a woman who sings and pretends for a living. Thank goodness she's around. Or how would we fight?
I'm sensing facetiousness, though. Like, I mean, you don't mean those things, hey?
You know what?
That's like.
Don't question my motive.
Did people respond to this comment of yours?
I don't know. It's just, to me, there's such low hanging fruit on social media these days. It just appears to me that the easiest thing in the world is to say, I am anti-sexism. I am anti-racism.
Yeah. Or get some hot girl to say, this guy's been sexist, and 10 dudes, incidentally 10 dudes, not one woman, inbox me threats because I'm a cyberbully. But it's the same thing.
Calm down about that.
No, but I'm saying it's the exact same thing. It's exactly what you're talking about. It's like, I want to dislike this because it's cool to dislike.
But it's even worse in the case of people like Lady Gaga. If she was really brave, she would say this kind of thing to an audience that disagree with her. What's brave is to not take the majority viewpoint. It isn't brave to be pro-LGBTQ. That's the sensible position.
It's an opinion and it's sensible. Yeah, exactly.
I mean, like, who in the world is it? There are very few people who are openly hostile to someone on the basis of their gender, their race, or their sexual proclivity. And the reason that's happened is because society as a whole has decided that that's kind of unacceptable behavior. So saying that you're anti-homophobia, or saying that you're against racism, or saying that you're against sexism, is such an easy position to
take. It's like
Jim
Jeffries' thing about how there's still no smoking signs everywhere. It's like, it's been the law for 20 years more that you can't smoke in public places. If somebody tries to, all the civilians around and or any authorities around will be like, stop doing that, it's illegal. Like, you don't need a list of what's illegal everywhere. Like, no raping here, no shitting in this restaurant. Like, it's just not allowed. Yeah. It's like, you just no longer are allowed to dislike people because of their gender. And also, like any shit prejudice stuff from the past, the generation that it's too late for to start thinking clearly will just die off, and it'll improve.
It'll improve.
I mean, go back, not that I've actually done this, but I'm fairly certain that if you went back in time and tried to be gay in the 50s, you would realize that it's actually better now and probably mm-hmm. will be much better in 20 years.
Yeah. So what I'm saying is that you're setting up all these really, really easy enemies that everybody's already decided are easy to vanquish, and you're asking people to praise you
For believing in a fundamental decent thing.
Right. So stop it. And Lady Gaga, you're among these people. Stop it. It makes you seem like you're desperately clawing for attention.
Hey, everybody, I don't commit arson.
Yeah. Hey, everybody, I'm not a vicious, nun-raping, petrol-drinking.
No, I'm not an arsonist.
Just going back
to no to arson.
Going back to the basis as well of the tweet or whatever headline she was quoting, also doesn't really stand on solid ground. So Mike Pence's wife isn't allowed to work at the school.
She can do whatever she likes. Exactly. And if you want to send your kids to a Christian school.
See, I don't agree you should be able to send. Like, you shouldn't be allowed. You can do after-school activities where you indoctrinate. You can have Flat Earth Society, anti-vax.
Good. A private school. There are private Islamic schools. There are private Christian schools. Yeah. There are private Catholic
schools. I don't
agree
with that shit either. You can't indoctrinate children. Like,
you can't tell.
You can't teach them a terrifying thing.
You can't tell other parents how to raise their kids.
No, I know. I mean, I'm not about to try. Okay, fair enough. I just think it sucks if you're a kid that has no choice but to believe stupid shit by the time you're 5.
You say it's stupid shit. To some people, it's the guiding principle of their lives.
Scientifically invalid. Like anti-vax, like flat earth, like 10,000-year-old planet.
You don't have children. If you did, the worst thing that could happen to you as a parent is that someone else starts telling you how to raise them.
Okay, well, let me say then that I think it's nasty to teach children a doctrine that is based entirely on fear. Do this, or you will burn in hell for eternity. You have no choice but to believe this. It's absolutely non-questionable. Happy third birthday. Here's a teddy bear. And ask that oak when he's 30 if he can actually have an informed opinion about whether religion is true or not.
It's a lot of religious people I know who are raising children would say they're not raising them in fear. They consider it a useful framework for morality. For decency.
Yeah, and in some senses it is. I'm just saying that it makes me sad that some people, by the time you try have a rational conversation with them about it, where no one cucks on anyone for their beliefs, you just have a chit-chat about opinions on it, are incapable of seeing your point of view because it's been built into them from age 3.
Fair enough. Sean says, Twitter suspending my account was the best thing that has ever happened to me. Isn't that interesting? That's from Sean.
It's a cesspit though, hey?
Yeah. What's your take on robotics in corporate banking? This is a question from Milan, who says, you know what, Milan, can I be 100% honest with you? I don't have an opinion on robotics in corporate banking. really? Really? Let me think about that for just 5 minutes. I don't have any opinion on robotics.
So, yeah, I was like,
banking.
Listen, Gareth, I know it's late, bro, but I was just thinking about RICB, and I, like, fully wanted to just bounce this idea off you. Like, I schemed, like...
RICB, yeah. It's now got an acronym?
Well, but, I mean, in terms of the conversation we were just having about creativity and empathy as a, like, mechanized robotic process, banking's where you want your AI robots. They don't make mistakes with maths. Like, that's where you want your technology.
Yeah, because if they make a mistake, and machines make mistakes occasionally as well, not just humans, and then there's no recourse, I want to know...
People must oversee the machine.
Yeah, but I want to know there's someone I can call. Oh, you know what? I've got an opinion on robotics.
There we go.
Yeah. Look at this.
Thank you, Milan.
No, thank you. Gord, you got me to this point. I never thought about it before.
Never have gotten you through the door if it wasn't a provocative message from the listener.
Thank you, Milan. So yes, I want a human somewhere in there so that if something goes wrong, I can address it to a human. I'd really like that. Is that too much to ask? Okay, a couple of quick updates. We've got a very interesting replay of an interview that we did with the CEO of Fluxmans. You know, we've done a series with Fluxmans where we take you behind the desks of some of South Africa's most interesting lawyers. And the CEO of Fluxmans is a terrific human being called Philip Vallet. We spent a bit of time with him. He has been in the law for years and years and years, has great stories to tell. And he's one of those people who, at the helm of an organization like that, is doing all the quiet, invisible work that keeps a place like that working optimally. He looks after everybody. He's created this culture of family inside the firm, and you can hear his story in the interview at 8 o'clock this morning. Quick update from the Renegades, who are bombarding me with messages this morning. The Renegades interviewed John Steenhuisen from the DA, and I reckon it would probably be worth your while to listen to that as well. Very interesting man. He has been in the news quite a lot, John Steenhuisen. He's got some very provocative opinions. He's not in total agreement with the rest of the DA about a lot of things that are going on in there.
That's because he's not a dumbass.
Well, there's Ben. Ben,
is that what
in.
DA stands for? That's
dumbass.
Wow, guys.
All right, wow. So take a listen to that. You can listen to the
it's
Renegades.
Absolute national corruption versus dumbass in the elections.
And we'll have loads of updates. Tomorrow, of course, is Thursday, so the Burning Platform will find out all about the state capture inquiries. Basasa paying everyone you've seen on TV
except
in the last
us.
6 years.
I want to be captured, man. I don't know how you got your foot in the door during that golden period of opportunity. I want to be. I went and partied in Sieges at this place called Bears, which is a gay bar, but where like the bear variety of gay men are the barmen.
Did you get hit on?
So much that gay dudes have always loved me, man. And I mean, they really do. It's. I wish I was gay. My life would be amazing. But I was there, and
there's so much there. I don't know where to go. But carry on.
Okay, I can't even remember where I was going with this.
You were getting hit on by bears and sieges.
Yes, I was, but. Where the point was, there was a point.
Alrighty, Gord.
But I got hit on by bears in sieges.
And you were trying to say that you'd love to be captured.
Yes, I would love to be. If I would love to be kept,
someone's listening.
I would love to be kept, and I would love to be state captured, and I would love to be kept by somebody who only like if I'm attractive enough to someone that I don't mind boning, that all they want to do is bone with me, and then everything's taken care of. I'll do it. But like, you can't be a total minger. Or a guy. Like, that's why I wish I was gay. That's why I wish I was gay, because A, it would be like so much easier, and gay dudes love me, and God could be kept.
God, you know what? We've just run out of time. I'm
wow,
so pleased.
Goodbye,
for
Christopher
you.
Robin.
Goodbye. It's a better life.
This morning's stream of consciousness with Gord Laws has been brought to you.
Gord contemplates his sexuality out loud.
It's been brought to you by Bears Nightclub.
Guys,
Bears 2-for-1 on Tuesday. We're happening on
because
Thursday.
Bears really cares
about you.
All right, thank you. Basasa's web seems to be bigger than ever expected. It turns out they were bribing just about everyone of profile. Andile Mgritama from Black First Land First. They're also outraged by this. His name is on the bribe list, but he hasn't received a cent. He said that Basasa need to get in contact with him immediately to obtain his payment details. Failure to do so will be racist.
Should have called it First Black Land First.
Kalula's new ad campaign has officially been deemed non-racist. Isn't that great? What a relief.
Officially deemed by the...
Yes, by the authorities. This is a huge relief for the low-cost airline, but their Don't Be a Travel Hater ad campaign is set to come to an end, so they start a new campaign featuring Ashwin Willemser, the EFF, the BLF, and anyone with a talk show on 702 just to make sure that they can shake the race card for good.
What, was that campaign called racist?
Yes.
Why?
God alone knows. Everything is these days, isn't it? And Pakistan's cricket captain, Sarfraz Ahmed, could be in hot water over some racist comments he made last night towards Andile Pehlukwayo. Ahmed naturally said the comments were playful, and he was just calling the Proteas all-rounder cricket's version of LeBron James, and things must have been lost in translation. So please, with peace and love, no racism, no racism. That's the call for today. We will see you tomorrow between 6 and 9. Have an excellent Wednesday in the company of CliffCentral.com.
This is CliffCentral.com.